and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and data shows Wisconsin kids are in crisis. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The report from the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health shows the numbers have increased dramatically over the past 10 years. While rates of anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts went up across the board, girls saw an overall higher increase. Wisconsin boys, however, are 2 to 4 times more likely to die by suicide than girls, according to the report. Amy Marsman says these trends are worse for LGBTQ plus students and students of color.
They feel less connected to their school and less likely to report that they feel they belong at their school. So we know that there are target populations that we should really focus on.
Marsman says teens are also getting less sleep than ever before, which is foundational to their mental health. More than 20% of teens reported self-harm, and nearly 25% of girls reported seriously considering suicide, according to the report. Marsman says factors like rising food insecurity, particularly among students of color, also play a significant role. She says additional support during the pandemic helped to eliminate food insecurity gaps, but now Black kids in Wisconsin are 5 times more likely to be hungry than white kids.
Some of these everyday situations really impact youth mental health, whether you're getting enough sleep, whether you are getting enough to eat, whether there's financial stability in your household. All of those are factors, and they are disproportionately impacting kids of color.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles again last night, the final 5-2, thanks to 5 scoreless innings by starter Logan Henderson. He's now won his first 3 games as a major league pitcher. That's a new franchise record, as he earned a job in the Brewers rotation. Pat Murphy.
No question about it. He's been great every time out. Not just good, great every time out.
That series wrapping up today. NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo in San Francisco attending Google's new products and apps show. Jim Ozarski, who covers the Bucks, asked, what if Giannis tells the team they haven't done enough to help him win another championship?
Let's just say Wes Edens and Jimmy Haslam are told by Giannis, you're not committed to winning. And they turn around and say, we've spent $1 billion. Since 2021. We have no draft picks till 2030. What do you mean we haven't tried to win? You're under contract for 2 more years. These are not sentimental guys.
That's Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
Catherine,
what is
she's
wrong
obsessed
with
a man in uniform?
Do you get to drive the truck sometimes? What? Hi,
Catherine.
What?
We're listening into your conversation.
The fire people, they're here. Yeah. The truck's here. Bring the kids.
The fire people.
What's the matter? They've got very big hoses that they have to lift, and they're very heavy. Yeah.
Shiny badges.
Hard to hold those hoses. I'm sure it is.
Oh, God.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7.
Driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome artist and co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, Shane McAdam. And Travel Wisconsin's senior communications specialist, Logan Rogie, talks about upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a fine program lined up for everybody today. At the bottom of this hour, as we do most Wednesdays, we've got a segment that we like to call Broad Appeal. We highlight female candidates and elected officials who have broad appeal and who are broads, and I mean that in a deeply respectful sense of the term. They're going to be joining us again bottom of this hour. We've got Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim and as well as Dr. Kristen Lierley. Really looking forward to that conversation, and if we can make it work this afternoon, I will also be joined by my colleague in broadcasting, Greg Gunderson, for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods, or as it typically is these days, me and Greg talking about, oh my goodness, what fresh hell is this? What is happening today, which seems to be a theme nearly every single day. Today being no exception, I do have to start with a bit of sports news. After 11 grueling innings, the Brewers drop this massive extra inning outing to the Baltimore Orioles, 8-4 after tying it up in the ninth. So kind of a bummer. You know, got to keep my eye on the sports news, too, as the world is literally being lit on fire seemingly every day in new and distressing ways. I've got a lot to talk with you about this afternoon, and certainly we'll get to the story of the intentionality of our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk, the purposefulness with which Elon Musk and Russell Vogt, who is this guy operating in the White House that not so many people know his name, he runs the Office of Management and Budget. The intentionality, the deliberateness with which they are actually desiring and are causing real trauma to federal workers. It's not about fraud, waste, and abuse. We all agree everything should be done to curb that in every government department. No, their entire purpose has always been to traumatize federal workers and to blow government up, not to make it work better for middle-class families, not to make it more efficient, not to be better stewards of your taxpayer dollars. No, it's to traumatize federal workers. And we have the recording that proves it. I'm going to talk about that. Incredible reporting from the Washington Post, sharing the stories of a number of federal workers, one who took her life after being fired, another who's on again, off again, and threats to the job. Maybe I have a job, maybe I don't. And the incredible increase in workload literally led a woman to drop dead on the job from a heart attack. This isn't just about a guy in a stupid hat with billions of dollars and a chainsaw acting the fool over and over and over again. This is costing people's lives, both directly when we talk about federal employees and what can be only termed as some of the most draconian cuts to emergency food assistance and Medicaid in our country's history. To do what? To blow the deficit up even more and to give handouts to billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations that they don't need. That is what has been going on all night. We talked earlier this week about the fact that Speaker Mike Johnson and the chairman of the House Rules Committee scheduled a middle of the night debate at 1 a.m. to keep people from knowing what the heck is in this bill. They refused to debate it. They refused to engage in any sort of meaningful discussion so that they can hide the truth from you. Because if they had to face facts about what is in this big, brutal bill, it would be that many Americans will die, go hungry, lose their insurance, go bankrupt, small businesses will go under. And again, for what purpose? Yeah, so that Elon Musk has more money, so that George Soros has more money, Jeff Bezos, and all of the corporate oligarchs that jerk our chains every day. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to get to that. We've got a ton of sound that we want to share with you because it is truly, truly shocking. But I want to take care of some business from yesterday. And it does bridge over to today's discussion about the big, brutal bill that Donald Trump wants to basically stick the knife into the back of all of his supporters, stick the knife into the back of the middle class and the working poor. Here's some of the cleanup from yesterday, and you're going to see the bridge to the discussion today. Republicans, in my opinion, have lost the ability to speak plainly and to tell the truth. They fumble all over themselves in congressional hearing after congressional hearing because they have to make sure that they do not offend the thin-skinned infant in chief that happens to be sitting in the White House. And to do that, they tie themselves into all sorts of verbal, they engage in all kinds of verbal gymnastics. Now, Jacob, I'm going to ask you if you can cue up this Rubio sound about Vladimir Putin. Give me a thumbs up when we're ready to roll that, if you will, sir. Because Marco Rubio, who used to be, by every account, a foreign policy hawk, who was very aggressive vis-a-vis Vladimir Putin, has turned into a mealy-mouthed, unrecognizable shell of a version of himself. Let's take a listen. This is Marco Rubio. Can't even say that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. Can't even, you know, call a spade here. This used to not be hard for Marco Rubio. Let's take a listen.
Vladimir Putin. Is he a war criminal?
Well, I think you can look at instances that have happened there and certainly characterize them as war crimes, but our intent is to end the war.
Is he a war criminal?
We can't end the war without talking to Mr. Putin.
That's pretty simple. Is he a war criminal?
Well, that's
this man we're negotiating with, Vladimir Putin. Is he a war criminal? That's not tough.
But what? I'm trying to answer your question by telling you that we're trying to end the war here.
Go ahead.
No, it's not a simple answer.
You are equivocating, sir. Just answer the question.
I'm answering your question, and the answer is that war crimes have been committed, no doubt. And who is responsible for that? There will be time and place for that accountability. But right now, the job is to end the war.
So you won't answer the question.
If we don't end the war, people are going to get
killed. Reclaiming my time, sir, let me go on.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Marco Rubio, how do you sleep at night, sir? So that's a little follow-on from our in-depth discussion yesterday about Donald Trump's failure to see the world clearly as it is, with all of its complex history, all of the nuance, and his corresponding failure to have any reasonable degree of common sense suspicion about what Vladimir Putin tells him. Thanks again much to Lowell Barrington, professor of political science at Marquette University. Again, following up from yesterday and additional news about this airplane that the Trump administration put into the air, apparently not providing the appropriate due process, again, apparently violating a clear court order. This was this group of 10 to 12 men, we're not exactly sure, being sent to South Sudan, an area that is one of the most violent in the world, with pretty consistent unrest, tipping on the edge of yet another brutal civil war. The Trump administration says information about the men that they sent to South Sudan is, of course, too secret to disclose in open court, though DHS posted the names and photos of eight of them in a thread on the Twitter. That's fine, but they can't talk about it with a federal judge. Weird. Only one of the men is actually from South Sudan. And the judge that is involved in this particular case said this of the flight to South Sudan, quote, "The department's actions in this case are unquestionably violative of this court's order," end quote. Are we at the point of a constitutional crisis? Join me this afternoon. We're going to have a lengthy discussion about a whole wide range of things. But there is one through line, whether we're talking about foreign policy, or maybe two through lines, whether we're talking about foreign policy or this domestic big brutal bill that is a handout to 100 millionaires and mega corporations. Republicans hide from the truth, and when confronted with the truth, they cannot and will not simply state it. Those are the through lines this afternoon. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen of this jury, of the public opinion jury, that there is no getting around those facts. And all the lying and all the obfuscating and all the spinning that is being done out of the MAGAverse right now, out of the MAGA regime, cannot belie the simple facts that foreign policy in the United States is in a crisis, our intelligence apparatus is in a crisis, and our domestic agenda is being hijacked by the MAGA regime, by Donald Trump and his billionaire oligarch buddies, to basically acquire more wealth and power by screwing the middle class yet again. Here is the other bit of news from today. And all of this, everywhere you look, there will be a lack of transparency. When confronted with clear truths, Republicans will hide from it. They will tongue-tie themselves, and they will lie about it. Again, a lack of transparency in these same mass deportation regimes. Here again, the Trump administration filed a motion this very morning to keep information related to the Kilmar Abrego Garcia case under wraps, saying the press shouldn't be allowed to, quote, pry into highly sensitive matters. But the president should be able to keep the super secret spy documents after he's not president anymore in his gilded golden bathroom. That's, of course, perfectly fine. And additionally, this is the third piece of transparency specific kind of wonky news that I'm sharing with you. The Trump administration asked the Supreme Court today to halt discovery. This is just the exchange of information and documents, the interviewing of witnesses and depositions, which are sworn under oath. The Trump administration, oh yes, going to the Supreme Court today to halt discovery in the DOJ Freedom of Information Act case, including the deposition of DOJ Administrator Amy Gleason. So I want to get this straight. As the Trump administration violates court order after court order, depriving people of both habeas corpus and due process rights, as they're engaging in all of this, as they're engaging in intentional traumatization of federal workers to gut government programs and now gut it even more in the big brutal bill, what they don't want to do is actually talk about any of this in courtrooms or in congressional hearings. Am I getting this straight? Wow. We're going to continue this discussion. We're going to turn to the House Rules Committee debate that began, I'm going to call it a debate with air quotes, Democrats are talking about what's in the big, brutal bill. Republicans aren't. Not to be held accountable, the MAGA regime. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this hump day show of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment. Keep it locked.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the questions that I think faces us every day as Republicans, and I can't call them Republicans anymore, the MAGA regime torches our Constitution and engages in increasingly corrupt and authoritarian, dangerous individual right violating behaviors. What do we do about this? Well, right now, Democrats on Capitol Hill are doing something about it. They are vigorously protesting and calling the MAGA regime to the carpet on the big, brutal bill, which represents some of the largest tax cuts in modern history for 100 millionaires, 100 billionaires, and mega corporations at the cost of Medicaid for some 14 million Americans, potentially over 10 million kids going to go hungry as school lunch programs are cut, as emergency food assistance programs are cut. They are doing something about it. Let's take a listen to Minority Leader Speaker Hakeem Jeffries talking about what is going on starting this morning at about 1 o'clock and still going on Capitol Hill. This is Cut 35.
So thank you for providing this opportunity for us to have this discussion. But one person is missing. Speaker Mike Johnson. Over a month ago, I asked our distinguished colleague from Louisiana, the Speaker of the House, to debate any of us, but certainly myself, on the House floor about this very bill. He believes it's one big, beautiful bill. We believe it's one big, ugly bill that's going to hurt the American people, hurt children, hurt families, hurt veterans, hurt seniors, cut health care, cut nutritional assistance, explode the debt by a minimum of $3.8 trillion. This is being done by people who claim to be the stewards of fiscal responsibility, $3.8 trillion, if not more. And so the offer still stands. I'd love to have the opportunity to debate Speaker Johnson anytime, any place, right here at the Rules Committee, or certainly on the floor of the House of Representatives. Not a duel, a debate of ideas.
That is Hakeem Jeffries in the Rules Committee basically calling out Mike Johnson. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries posted to his X account, talking to each and every one of you and me, regular Americans, about what's going down on Capitol Hill today. Let's take a listen. Cut 36.
Here at the Capitol during the 6 a.m. hour, where House Democrats, led by Jim McGovern, Joe Neguse, Mary Gay Scanlon, and Teresa Leger Fernandez, have been battling on the Rules Committee all night. We are pushing back aggressively against the GOP tax scam, which hurts everyday Americans and helps billionaires. Approximately 14 million people will lose their health care, and millions more will pay higher premiums, co-pays, and deductibles. Hospitals will close, nursing homes will shut down, and people will die. The GOP tax scam also represents the largest cut to nutritional assistance in American history. They are literally taking food out of the mouths of children, seniors, and veterans. All of this is being done to provide massive tax breaks to their billionaire donors like Elon Musk. It's unacceptable, unconscionable, and un-American. We will continue to battle this throughout the day and beyond, until we stop this bill from becoming law.
That's what's going on Capitol Hill. I want to give you a flavor of how clearly Democrats are attacking the big, brutal bill that is nothing more than giveaways to those that don't need a damn thing from taxpayers any more than the windfalls that they've already received from the American working public. Ladies and gentlemen, remember that from 1981 to 2021, $51 trillion has been thieved, stolen from the middle class, and has gone from the bottom 90% of us working people to the top 1%. $51 trillion over that 40-year period of time. And now Donald Trump wants to give those fattest of fat cats eating at the trough even more. Let's take cut 37. This is Representative McGovern breaking down the math. Take a listen.
We're talking about the Republican reconciliation package that is going to be jammed through this committee and rush to the floor. And if I'm understanding the numbers correctly, the latest version of their tax scam, the top 0.1% stand to gain $255,000 on average in 2027 alone. That's $700 a day, every day. The people who make over $1 million a year will also get their pockets lined. On average, these millionaires will have an additional $81,500 per year. But pennies for everybody else. For those earning less than $50,000 per year, the average benefit is $265. That's less than a dollar per day. And that's laughable when you begin to look at the gaps that are going to be created by these cuts in other programs.
Absolutely disgusting. What it is a giveaway for those that don't need any more giveaways. and it is absolutely scraps for the rest of us. Donald Trump is reverse Robin Hood, steal from the poor to give to the rich, steal from the middle class to fatten the fat cats even more. It is time we say no. I cannot wait to bring on two fabulous broads, and I mean that with deep, deep, deep respect. For the next segment, Broad Appeal will be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley and Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim. We're going to talk about the robbery of the middle class, the oppression, the stamping down on our necks, all of us, by the fat cats in Washington, D.C., and the MAGA regime right here in the state of Wisconsin as they debate the biennial budget. Keep it locked. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Michigan teacher accused of having a sexual relationship with a student now faces federal charges of child pornography. Two federal counts of producing child pornography were added to the 19 charges that 37-year-old Ryan Schrader already faces in state court. A criminal complaint alleges Schrader knowingly employed, induced, and coerced a minor to engage in sex acts to be recorded and distributed. No court date is listed for the federal case. He's scheduled to appear in Manitowoc County Court for a scheduling conference on the state charges on June 17th. The number of tornadoes that ripped through Dodge County last week is still going up. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
It took a few days, but another twister was confirmed around here. The National Weather Service has verified another tornado in Dodge County from the severe storms last week. That raises the total number in southern Wisconsin to 8. The tornadoes caused major damage in communities like Mayville, Juneau, and Horicon. Dodge County was especially hard hit, with 6 tornadoes confirmed within its borders.
As rates of overdose deaths decline across the country, Wisconsin saw one of the largest drops in 2024. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently announced that overdose deaths dropped 27% nationwide last year. According to their data, Wisconsin saw the third largest decline of any state in the country, dropping 36% in 2024. State officials have routinely cited programs created through the opioid settlement money for the improving overdose numbers, especially the use of harm reduction tools like Narcan. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When you've got a 38-year-old franchise, even the main character's kids would be too old for this. Even though it's become one of the most tired franchises ever, Lethal Weapon is giving birth yet again to sequel number 5. 69-year-old cranky Mel Gibson will direct the new flick and reprise his role as Martin Riggs, and 78-year-old Danny Glover is back as Murtaugh. Sure, this sounds really uninteresting, but before you judge, let me just say this is not your father's Lethal Weapon. Actually, it is. Speaking of part 5s, not sure Toy Story needed a 3 or 4. Four, much less a 5, but it's happening. And it just got a little funnier, with the addition of new cast member Conan O'Brien. That's right, the former late night host and the MC of the last and next Oscars will play a character called Smarty Pants in the new chapter. Variety reports that the new film sees Buzz, Woody, and Jesse's jobs being challenged by electronics. Toy Story 5 is scheduled to hit theaters June 19th, 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering shower to tonight, cloudy sky and a low in the mid-40s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday, highs of 60 to 65. And we'll stay in the 60s through the weekend and into Memorial Day, a slight chance of rain each day. Currently 51 degrees.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up! Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on the road this week, live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, home of WCFW, The Tap, talking about conservation and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. Happy hump day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Wednesdays, whenever we can, we like to bring you a little segment we call Broad Appeal because it is filled with fabulous broads, and I mean that in a deeply reverential, respectful way, and because amazing female elected officials, candidates, political leaders, and ladies that talk politics have broad appeal because we care about what's going on in our families and in our communities. I've got two fabulous broads with me this afternoon. Two Kristens, as a matter of fact, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who often co-hosts this segment with me. Hello, Kristen. Welcome back. Lovely to have you.
Hello, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Yes, and we are super excited to be joined by our good friend and yours, Senator Kristen Dostler-Alfheim, as well. Welcome back to the show, Chris. Great to see you.
Love showing up. You're my favorite broad on primetime radio in the evenings.
Yay! I might be the only broad on primetime radio in the evenings.
If there were 100, you'd still be my favorite.
Bless you for that, my friend.
Word.
There are two things that are happening simultaneously, both here in our state and in Washington, D.C., and the parallels between them are simply breathtaking in terms of the real existential threats that the MAGA regime, both here in Wisconsin and nationally, as the leadership in Washington, D.C., is moving forward, the real threats that they pose to working families and our own communities on a very day-to-day basis, are we okay sense of things. We look to Washington, D.C., we see a budget, a brutal budget bill, not a big, beautiful, a big, brutal budget bill that will absolutely decimate families, potentially shoving 18 million kids off their school lunch programs, 14 million people off of Medicaid. It's going to bankrupt families. It will leave people hungrier, sicker, with less insurance, less economic security, more likely to go bankrupt. It's just bad. All for what? To give 100 billionaires and millionaires and mega corporations more tax cuts. We turn and look at the biennial budget debate that's occurring here in our home state, and we see Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee striking out provision after provision in Governor Evers' proposed budget for things that middle-class families absolutely need. Perhaps the one that pops to the front of the list or the front of the mind, if you will, is the refusal of the MAGA regime here in Wisconsin to re-up the supports for affordable child care, which basically everybody I know needs here in Wisconsin. I wanted to start very briefly, Senator Alfheim, with a little sound from Capitol Hill that started this morning at 1 a.m. and the debate is still ongoing. This is Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. And Jacob, this is going to be cut 33. He's talking about the impacts of the big, brutal bill that Donald Trump is trying to cram down Congress's throat. Let's take a listen.
As Democrats, we are ready to work in a bipartisan manner to address these challenges, but we will never support any Republican effort to rip away health care from the American people. This GOP tax scam will force nearly 14 million people to lose their health coverage and cause millions more to pay higher co-pays, premiums, and deductibles. Hospitals will close, nursing homes will shut down, and people will die in all of your districts.
Damn. Senator, I want to ask you, we're looking at a similarly devastating cut to child care in this state. We're going to have child care deserts. Some estimates are looking at the number of child care providers being slashed in half in many counties, averaging at least a cut of somewhere between 25 to 30% across the state. It's going to explode the cost of health care, of child care for so many families. Is this what people voted for? Why is this permissible? Why is this even being put forward by the MAGA regime in DC and here in Wisconsin?
I don't know. I truly don't get it either. I mean, we are in this never-ending battle of what is needed and what is not. And depending on who you're speaking to, you'll hear different answers. So apparently our Republican friends, our majority friends, have the opinion that childcare is just not needed. And healthcare for children and disabled people and elderly is just not needed. And after all, we could reduce our taxes. Now, there is a reality that we always have to be mindful of our budget. We have to be mindful of our debt. I think it's perfectly acceptable to say there is some fiscal responsibility that must go on. But we don't realize that the spending is not up. It's that the revenue is down. That's the issue. I teach estate planning once a month with an elder law attorney in my world. And last night, I just did a show. In 1999, in Wisconsin, we had a death tax. Anybody that passed away as a single or as a couple, I think the couple number was roughly 1.3 million. Anybody that died with more than 1.3 million as a couple in Wisconsin had to kick back 8% in estate taxes to the state of Wisconsin. On a federal level, the exemption was the same. Anything over roughly $1.3 million was 36% was given back to the federal government in taxes. 25 years later, we have no estate tax in Wisconsin whatsoever. And at a federal level, you'd have to have more than $26 million before you pay a nickel. Now, all of that is to be said. Most people, 99% of the planet, even in 1999, were not paying that. But it was a way to reshuffle back into the bucket. That's just one example of the dollars from the ultra wealthy that are no longer coming in. It's astounding to me how we can continue to have the conversation about, heaven forbid, we talk about raising any tax. And the Republicans continue to run on the fact that we have to just cut taxes, cut spending so we can cut taxes. Taxes in the upper tax brackets, and I'm talking the really, really wealthy, the making more than $1 million a year, the billions of dollars in bank, they have the lowest tax rates they've ever had in history. So we don't have a bottom of the bucket problem with spending. We have a top of the bucket issue with no longer funding the world around us. That's the problem. And middle America needs to realize that they are in the bottom of the bucket. All of us are in the bottom of the bucket. We can't even smell what actual wealth smells like. And we have to be able to help people realize these changes will affect kitchen tables. Of every kitchen table within arm's reach, whether it's you losing benefits, whether it's your children not having daycare, whether you have to step away from a job to take care of your kids, whether your parents can't afford to retire because the cost of Medicare and the expenses are going up, or whether you're disabled, children, adults, I don't care what it is, every household will feel this pain. And all we can do is hope that the rational people start to hear the entire conversation, start to hear it, and help us make better decisions.
You are so right. And data just recently released by the Congressional Budget Office shows that the people who are going to lose are the lowest decile, the lowest 10% of wage earners and the people that are going to win big are the highest decile, the richest people. This is going to have a profound impact on the most vulnerable people. And, you know, I think about childcare, and actually that's what my show this weekend on Civic Media is going to be all about, is childcare in Sheboygan. We talked to Mayor Ryan Sorensen. We talked to an alder, a school board member, and a childcare provider from four different perspectives approaching the childcare issue. Providers of childcare are struggling to get by. Do you know what the average wages for a childcare provider in Wisconsin right now? It's like $10 to $13 an hour. You can make more working at Target than you can with a bachelor's degree taking care of our youngest people in the state, people who are vulnerable, people who are putting together those building blocks that will determine who they become for the rest of their lives. And childcare, people who need it are suffering and sacrificing to be able to find childcare. It's unaffordable. So what's been bridging that gap, childcare counts, has been a lifesaver. And when that goes away in June, up to 70% of childcare providers in rural parts of Wisconsin could close. 70% in places like Oconto, where it's already a crisis, where it's keeping people out of the workforce. And that has a giant impact on the economy of these small towns and on the future of every single person who lives there.
Folks, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She joins me on Wednesdays to host a segment we call Broad Appeal, Elevating Women's Voices in Politics, because we see both trees and forest, which is incredibly important. We're joined as our special guest by Senator Chris Dassler-Alfheim. We're talking about what is actually important to families and the disconnect between the values that I hear people talk about in the grocery store, at my place of worship, when I'm hanging out at an adult beverage selling establishment. The things that people say are their values, I am not seeing getting put into place by elected leaders from the MAGA regime. There is this massive dislocation, right? And it seems to me that a lot of MAGA electeds will say the things that they have to say, right? Like, I'm pro-worker, I'm pro-family, family. And then they will immediately go enact a big, brutal budget bill or a biannual budget that does exactly the opposite, and people still tend to vote for them. We know that part of the solution is trying to have these really open and honest conversations to not get distracted by all the noise. We know that part of the solution is in fairer maps, so that all elected officials, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are actually accountable to their voters instead of being able to waltz in to easy wins for decades and decades. We know all of those things. I am curious, and I have always resisted the cynical sort of reductivist place where, gee whiz, is it really the case that Republicans seizing multiple levers of power basically get to do what they want, right? Break things. And that, by effectively Republicans getting so much of what they want, they actually enact these anti-family, anti-working people policies to a degree that the pain is so widespread that people are eventually able to take off their rose-colored glasses and see things as they actually are. I fear that we may be walking right up to that moment in our country where people will be feeling pain. One of the, you know, we've been talking about generally what can be termed the care economy, right? Whether we're talking about childcare or, for example, I think, Dr. Lyerly, you mentioned elder care. Mm-hmm. Medicaid, nursing homes, anyone here? It's like
70%.
Yes, it's yes. This massive proportion. Where are those people going to go when they're kicked off of Medicaid? Who will be caring for them? Like, everyone is going to feel this pain. I'm wondering what happens between now and that pain point? And then how do we help build bridges and not alienate folks that may have been supportive of the MAGA regime and say, hey, there's a place for you here. There's a place in this movement. We can do better, and we want to do that together. I want to talk about bridging that gap and how we need to talk with our neighbors and friends to make it better for all of us and to push back on this, frankly, billionaire agenda that won't benefit anybody but the tech bros and the oligarchs right here in the U.S.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The New Hampshire Senate killed a bill requiring absentee voters to include copies of citizenship documents when requesting or returning absentee ballots. In a separate court case in April, voters challenged the state's proof of citizenship law for in-person registration. For decades, a prospective New Hampshire voter could provide documents to prove domicile and U.S. citizenship when registering to vote, or when those documents weren't available, use a sworn affidavit under penalty of fines or imprisonment. Under that system, there has never been any evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in New Hampshire. Then in 2024, New Hampshire became one of the first states to further restrict its proof of citizenship rules. It ended use of affidavits entirely, requiring voters to provide documentary birth certificate, U.S. passport, naturalization papers, or other documents proving citizenship to register. No documents, no voting. HB 217 went even further, requiring absentee ballot users, including nursing home and homebound voters, to provide those documents with their absentee requests and ballots. Fortunately for Grandma, the bill was killed May 15th. April 23rd, arguments by pro-voter groups were heard in federal district court in an effort to strike down the 2024 proof of citizenship law after dozens were turned away in local elections earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Broad Appeal. I've got two fabulous broads with me, Dr. Kristen Lierley and State Senator Chris Dassler-Alfheim. Welcome, 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 one and all. Let's get right into it. So much going on. We could talk for days and days. Senator, during the break, you and I and Kristen were talking about the fact that in this state biennial budget debate, there's been a, kind of a new line that you hear the MAGAs using all the time. And you had some thoughts on this. Share with the listeners what your concern is.
Yeah, I mean, the standing response from the majority party in Wisconsin is that policy shouldn't be in the budget. So the 651 things they took out of the budget shouldn't have been there. It should be done legislatively. And you could argue that might be true. The problem is, in the state of Wisconsin, this has been the case for over a decade, the majority party, the Republicans, will not let our bills that we submit that address childcare, healthcare, prescription costs, housing, all of these important things, they will never give our bills a hearing. if they never get a hearing, we never actually get to debate them, argue, make them better, and pass them as a democracy would demand. If you stifle democracy in the legislature, then the governor has no option but to try and pull those things through via the budget. So the solution is to actually let the legislature work. There are bills that are sitting out there every single day on guns, on education, on healthcare, on women's rights, on marijuana, you name it. All of these bills are sitting either in a garbage can or on a shelf because they won't give us a hearing. Now, if we were a civilized government, a balanced government, a government that wants to work, we would give reasonable bills their day. Now, you can say they're not perfect because none of them are, but then let's work together. Let's let those moderates from the Republican side that get so mad, heaven forbid, the moderates on the Republican have ads running against them that say, if he wins, if she wins, then all these radical things would happen. And they get offended because they're moderate. But they never have a chance to prove they're moderate because the bills that would allow them to prove it never come to the floor. So people want government to work better. And I do believe in DC, it's the same thing. They're avoiding the real democratic way. If people realized that our government would work just fine and we could work together to find moderation, forward movement, and there are people willing down there, they would freak out at what we could accomplish together. And that is right and blue. That's not one or the other. The leadership of the majority controls those knobs. And if all they did was say, start taking bills, start giving hearings, we would live in a different place. And we wouldn't have this in the budget, out of the budget, pass a budget, veto a budget. It's the extreme versions of democracy. And it is clearly the fault, without question, of the majority leadership who chooses to run it that way.
Folks, that's Senator Chris Dassler-Alfheim. Couldn't agree with you more. We see that same log jam in Congress. Bills not scheduled for hearing again and again and again. And we see it now looking at the big brutal bill in D.C. Why schedule a hearing for 1 o'clock in the morning if you actually wanted to debate it? Why, when the bill was being debated and budgets being presented by secretaries and heads of departments, did not a single Republican in the House ask a single question or engage in any debate? Because you cannot bear the light of day. If you want to govern, show up and have the debate about ideas and what should happen. But this has been the pattern. We see it in Congress, in D.C., and we're seeing it here in the state of Wisconsin. And again, as you put it, Senator, Wisconsinites, Americans, they actually want bipartisanship. They want the compromise. They want things working better. It's why gerrymandering is so detrimental to that overarching effort. Go ahead, Chris.
My Republican friends will always say, we pass bipartisan stuff all the time. Yes, we do. We absolutely do. But the reality is the only bipartisan people in the world are from the minority, because there are bills that come through. Half the time, they're bills that Democrats put out 2 and 5 years ago that never got a hearing, and they'll bring back a shorter version. We're not going to stop a good bill from happening. But if we are never, I think 3% of the bills that have come to the floor in the last how many years have actually come from the Democrats. There is yet to be a bill come through the Senate floor that wasn't a foregone conclusion. That means we are never actually discussing and working through a bill together. That's the reality.
I'll just say this very briefly. I have had these private conversations when I have gone toe-to-toe with my conservative friends, and I'm like, pick an issue. I don't care what it is. Tell me what your position is in good faith. You tell me where you think the middle ground is, and I'll tell you where I'll compromise. We can actually get to it and tell me what it is. Let's get specific. Let's talk about it in detail. And they either can't because they don't know the specifics enough to actually get it where the middle ground can be found, which does require some mastery of these topic areas and what actually is in legislation, or it is simply, I'm not willing to compromise at all. And That to me, it's, well, what are Democrats? I feel like a lot of the criticism of Democrats is like, you're arguing with yourselves. And part of it is like, yeah, because we're trying to get something done.
Right.
They haven't had to compromise. They Correct. Haven't had to compromise. And no wonder regular people are exhausted and disgusted by this system, because it doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve any of us. Mm.
Soon it'll be better.
Soon it will be better.
Yeah, girl. We do have good maps.
And we have a plan.
And we have a plan. The plan right now is, if you are listening, get on the phone, especially if you've got a Republican congressperson or Republican state rep or state senator. Tell them you want things that actually work for the middle class. That is the message. Every day, get on the lines. We got to take care of a little bit of business here at the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'll be back at the top of the hour with more unbelievable Oval Office meetings. Is it possible? Yes. Yes, it is. We discuss when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The sweeping reconciliation budget bill has not made it out of committee today due to holdout Republicans. President Trump meeting with them this afternoon.
For now, the chair of the conservative House Freedom Caucus says he's a no without more spending cuts. But ahead of talks at the White House, the House Speaker continued to sound a note of optimism. Mike Johnson told reporters that very productive conversations are still underway with the GOP holdouts.
The guys that still have concerns, we're working through. Everybody around here knows this is the process. This is what we do.
A White House statement says failure to pass the package would amount to the ultimate betrayal. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Severe storms once again targeting the South and Midwest today, and a nor'easter has moved into New England. Stocks fell sharply today over earnings reports and separately the rise in bond yields. A Treasury bond auction had softer demand, signaling the lack of confidence in the safety of investing in U.S. debt. This is ABC News.